I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and the 22nd chapter. And I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. In chapter 22, verse 15, until the end of that chapter, the religious leaders are pummeling Jesus with questions. The end of his life is approaching. He has already declared his allegiance. He has his face and heart and soul set on the cross because of us. They can't buy that. So they volley question after question, and finally, on the fourth time, Jesus volleys a question at them. The two who come to him today, the Herodians and the Pharisees, were enemies. But they colluded because they had a greater enemy, and that enemy was Jesus. So they sought to trick him. They wanted him to instigate a revolution, to foment a revolution so that Rome and Israel could get it on. Jesus was in dire straits. Hear this. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are." That's the language of truth, but is told with sweet deceit. "Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him, and they went away. Almighty God, just give us Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. In the few minutes that I have remaining, I want to get right to the point of this sermon. There's one big idea in this text, and it is this: where is your allegiance? Where is your allegiance? Two enemies, one religious authority, the other Roman authority, come together to trick Jesus. They ask him, should they pay this certain tax? Now, the tax that they were talking about was the imperial tax or the poll tax that went directly to Caesar Augustus' coffers. They would see none of it as subject people of Israel. And they hated that and they detested that. Now, when they asked Jesus if they should pay that tax, if he said, "Yes, you pay it," the Jewish people would detest him. He would lose any credibility that he had with them. If he said, "No, don't pay that tax," all of a sudden he could foment a rebellion with the Roman authorities where they could come in and squash ancient Israel. He was caught between a proverbial rock and a hard place. So Jesus does this. He said, "Give me the coin." The coin was a denarius. On it, it had minted the laureled head of Tiberius Caesar, the Roman emperor of that time. On the flip side of the coin had a picture of his mother, Livia. And then there was an inscription written on the coin, and here it is. Tiberius Caesar, worshipful son of the divine Augustus. Do you see what this coin indicated? That the emperor was divine, worthy of worship. There is only one God worthy of worship. The Jews knew that. That's why they rebelled against paying this tax. So what is Jesus to do? And the way they phrased that question was, give me a yes or give me a no. No middle ground. Yes or no, they asked. And they leaned forward knowing that they had Jesus. And then he defied all odds. No simple yes, no simple no. His answer is so clear, it is so convincing, yet his answer is so unfathomable and so deep. His answer is this: so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Now, everyone here should lean forward in this text, because it addresses our relationship as believers to the state. That is becoming more and more of a very pertinent issue. Now, in this text, Jesus is getting at one point and one point alone. Where is your ultimate allegiance? And here's how he goes about it. He makes two points. He says, number one, you should have a respect for the state. And number two, he defines or describes or intimates that there is limitations of the state. Now, when he took the coin and said, whose image is on it? And the Herodians and the disciples of the Pharisees said, Caesar's. Then he said, then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Notice what he did not say. He did not say to give to Caesar. He said to give back. The Greek word is apodidomai, which means to literally give back. Caesar minted the coin for you to pay to him. So give it back. Do not be controlled by the state. Yet, have a respect for the state, whether Obama is president or Trump is president. There should be a respect for the state, but there should also be inscribed in your mind and your heart that the state has limitations. You see, when he said to give to God what is God's, he meant this. You and I are made in the image of God. We belong to Him. So ultimately, our ultimate allegiance should be to God Almighty. The only reality with a total claim on our conscience is God. We are to give a great deal to the state, yes, but our ultimate allegiance knows no bounds when it is to God and to God alone. This one statement also is a twofold critique. Now listen closely. There are those who give too little to the state. There are those who give too little. For example, there are those among us, and I stand under conviction here, who know far too little about the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. There are those among us who simply don't care to be informed. We want to stick our head in the sand and let life go on, and somehow we'll make it. There are those among us who do not care to engage in meaningful discussion and meaningful dialogue. There are those among us who simply don't care as long as everything is okay with me, myself, and I. Jesus said there are too many among us who care far too little about the state. But in that second critique, he says this: there are those who elevate the state to a divine status. When we give undue respect to the state, when I hear such things as "my country, right or wrong," we have made an idol of our state. When we assume that our politics are God's politics, and both the far left and the far right are guilty of this, that's wrong. For you see, the state can become demonic. The book of Revelation is indication of when a state becomes demonic and claims to be only in the position that God should be in. When the state asks for itself the things of God, such as total commitment, unconditional obedience, and uncriticizing allegiance, we have elevated the state to the status of God. And only God deserves our ultimate allegiance. Nothing or no one should ever supersede our allegiance to God, including America. So I have but one question as I end. Where is your allegiance? Is it to God, expressed most clearly in Jesus Christ, who breathes life into us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Is God first and foremost in your life? If Jesus had succumbed to their question, which was a trap, our very salvation could have been negated. But he let nothing, not even Rome, not even the religious authorities of that day, supersede his commitment to be totally obedient to God at any cost. That's the one big idea of this text. And that should command our attention. Almighty God, as we come now to this time of invitation, we ask, O God, that you fill us with Jesus Christ, that you help us re-examine our allegiances. For it is far too easily to baptize the faith as a Republican or as a Democrat or as an American and to truncate the gospel diminish its significance, and therefore take us down a path of destruction. So, Lord, rain down your Holy Spirit. Set a fire within us that will motivate us during this invitation to re-examine our priorities and, if necessary, to make a public commitment to you that only Jesus, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our hymn of invitation is listed in your bulletin. It is hymn number 576. For some, this could be the day of salvation. You have heard Jesus say, I would let nothing get in the way of you and me, not even Rome, not even religious people. He did that for you. Can you give him your life? Have you given him your life? Let today be the day you make that matter settled in your life. And perhaps there are others. You're like me. The rhetoric's hot on TV. You get so mad at the Democrats. You get so mad at the Republicans. You neglect the study of the Word. You make witnessing something that John or Rick or David should do. You forget to make small group ministries priority. You forget Wednesday. You forget Sunday night. But you're right, at least in your sight. What does God say? This is a day to begin again. Jesus. Him first. There may be those of you who say, we have visited long enough. Today is the day we make that decision to become a part of this family. Whatever it is, the altar is open for prayer. I will be here to receive. We will not prolong the invitation, but I want you to know that God's hands are open wide. He wants you. The King who spoke this world into existence wants you and me in intimate relationship as priority. Do you hear that? Let's stand and let's sing.
Thank you.
Hurst University. Introduction to the Old Testament, introduction to the New Testament. There should be no reason after this year that you don't have a better handle on God's Word as you teach your children and your grandchildren, as you open the Bible around the table, and as you read it informed through spiritual eyes. It's not too late to come to purchase a text. Come and let's grow deeper together. Our trunk or treat is a full go. If you would still like to have a car and bring your own candy, sign up today. You noticed in the bulletin today about Medicare Part D and how confusing it can be. We're offering two opportunities for you to come with one of our own pharmacists, Wayne Baskin, and he will receive questions and he'll answer to the best of his ability. Notice in the chimes, in the first word, when those times are. The first is this Wednesday from 1 to 3 in Atrium B. You also notice our deacon election is listed. We congratulate all who agreed to serve. For the 8, I ask that you pray for them as in January they assume their role of responsibility, along with Wayne Talley, who will fulfill an unexpired term of 1 year and be eligible for election next year. But right now, we have some celebrations to go through.